1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Israel's reportedly rejected a ceasefire deal accepted by Hamas. CBS's Robert Berger.
It's supposed to be in three stages, and in the first stage, up to 33 Israeli hostages would be released in exchange for about 900 or so Palestinian prisoners and a six-week ceasefire.
Former President Trump's been held in contempt again for violating a gag order in his criminal trial for a 10th time. Legal analyst Lori Levinson.
It looks like Donald Trump is on his last chance. The judge has made it clear that if Donald Trump violates the gag order again, he is definitely looking at possible jail time.
And students are bummed commencement's been canceled at Columbia. Ethan Gogis is a graduating senior.
I'm frustrated, but I am okay with it as long as, you know, the safety and well-being of students is ensured. I think that's totally fine.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103.
Yes.
Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers is again calling Republican lawmakers into a special meeting to release $140 million to fight PFAS pollution and respond to hospital closures in Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls. The Joint Finance Committee is already scheduled to meet Tuesday, but neither item is on the agenda. The money for PFAS cleanup has been held up for close to a year. Universities of Wisconsin System President Jay Rothman says he won't rule out police removing tents again from campus like they did in Madison last week. Rothman says it's illegal because it's unsanitary and unsafe.
As your mother told you, nothing good happens after midnight, right? So I think we really are concerned about the safety issue, and the encampments ultimately will be gone.
Rothman on WISN-TV's Upfront. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The village of Port Edwards will be performing hydrant flushing this week. Crews will begin on Tuesday, May 7th and continue through Wednesday, May 8th. You may notice discolored water or low pressure at times. If you have any questions or concerns, you can contact the Port Edwards Public Works Department at 715-887-3183. A public health vending machine has been installed outside of the Ruth Gilfrey Center in Stevens Point. Portage County Public Health launched the PHVM to provide easy access to a range of harm reduction supplies at no charge. They include everything from nasal Narcan and fentanyl testing strips to cable gun locks, tick kits, and emergency blankets. The temperature-controlled PHVM is located at 817 Whiting Avenue. It's available 24/7 for anyone in the community to access. You only need to provide your zip code to dispense products. No other personal information is collected. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers are going to Kansas City. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers open up a three-game set tonight at Kauffman Stadium against the Kansas City Royals. The crew essentially tied for first place in the NL Central after being shut out in Chicago yesterday, 5-0 by the Cubs at Wrigley. Pat Murphy going to have to get creative with his starting pitchers as Freddy Peralta begins a five-game suspension for allegedly intentionally beating a batter last week. NBA, the Bucks cleaning out their lockers as their offseason begins. Giannis telling reporters he was still several weeks away from being ready to play, coming off that calf injury suffered April 9th against Boston. Damian Lillard.
It's definitely disappointing because you know how much better of a team we are when he's on the floor and how much things change when he's on the floor and you play an entire 82-game season, you go through training camp, you go through all the ups and downs of a NBA regular season and you get to the point where, all right, now we're going to play for everything and you're not whole. It's frustrating, it's disappointing, but it's part of the game.
That's the Bucks, Damian Lillard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Abundant sunshine today with high temperatures flirting with 70 degrees. Winds out of the southeast a bit feisty, gusting up to 20 miles per hour as a storm system strikes tomorrow, bringing some heavy rain and thunderstorms by the afternoon and into the evening. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 73 degrees at our studios.
Good afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers. Randy and James here with you. Phone lines are wide open. Call up and join the conversation, 715-424-2600. We look forward to hearing from every single one of you. We're also going to have some fun today, thanks to our good friends over at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. A big thank you to Phil and the gang over there, sponsoring the hour. Give us a call, everybody, 715-424-2600. Just a touch or two away if you're listening to us on the Civic Media app. Randy, we got plenty to cover today. At the 3:30 mark, I'd say, we're going to get into some local coverage that Randy has for us. Looking forward to that. We have the NBA and NHL playoffs going on. There is all of that to get into. All of these different things. There's something that Roger Goodell kind of said in passing out of the side of his mouth the other day that we haven't had a real chance to mull over and get into. I want to touch on, too, about the 18-game slate that he just kind of threw out there. There's a couple of those things. But like a lot of our shows end up beginning, and like a lot of sports conversations begin, I was talking to a friend.
Right.
You know, I was talking to a friend, and we were all excited about the NBA playoffs, and we're kind of in a smaller group here, I think, where I love seeing Steph Curry. Any chance I get. If Steph Curry's out there right now in the parking lot, I'm having a hard time doing my job because I'm watching whatever he's doing.
Absolutely.
Even if he doesn't have a basketball. Like, you know, he's
in the commercial.
Yeah, he's must-see television. LeBron is amazing, you know, what he's doing at his age. There's a lot of great stars, but we don't have them in the second round of the playoffs even. We're used to, you know, big names going out. Not in the first round necessarily. It's just the way it worked out in the NBA this year. And now you have the young guard taken over in some ways, pun intended, with an Anthony Edwards and everything, a great guard play that he brings. It's fun and exciting, and I was talking to a friend of mine about this, and we somehow went down the rabbit hole of favorite shots of all time in basketball.
Ooh.
Yeah. And it was a lot of fun. He was talking about the Ray Allen shot from Miami, right, that won the championship and everything, and that was a good choice. I want to hear from you. I want to hear from the audience. Off the top of your head, if you want to do it today, 2 weeks from now it comes to you, that's fine too. Favorite shot in NBA history. For me, there are three contenders, and not surprisingly, two of them involve Michael Jordan. My number three is his handover. Right hand, left hand layup in the NBA Finals, and the first time the Bulls are in the Finals against the Lakers. I'm watching that game as a young man with my dad, and this is before six championships. This is before we don't know if we're ever going to be here again, and we're facing the Lakers and Magic Johnson, so we don't necessarily think we have a chance, which is so crazy to say now, but looking back, that's how we felt. I had no confidence at all going into that series. None. I've spent my whole life watching Magic Johnson. That man, all he does is win. You know? Let alone this may be his last chance in the finals. He's certainly going to win. So I'm watching and with my dad, and we're for some reason moving closer and closer to the television. Jordan does this where he's just coming down. He gets the ball, and Michael's first step is underrated. We forget this sometimes. I forgot it until I go back and watch this play. And he gets the ball, and boom, he's going. There's not much plays where in his career where he's delaying. He already knows what he's doing by the time he gets the ball. And it's just one of his brilliance of his game. He's cutting into the lane and has to change up and flips it and dives it in. I swear to you, Randy, I never doubted the Bulls a moment after that play. After that play, I felt I was that confident Bulls fan. I wasn't arrogant, I hope, but I felt very confident about the team, even though it was just in the first quarter and all that was going on. My number two is Dr. J's scoop.
Oh, absolutely.
So cool.
Yeah.
I watched it like 90 times last night, Randy. It was my first favorite play as a kid.
Just the way he rocked the cradle, right?
Yeah. That's a great play. I'm talking about when he's coming around the lane, he's behind the backboard and scoops it around.
Sure.
That was incredible.
That was too, yes.
I still don't think anybody's ever done that in the NBA. I don't think anybody has been on the basically out of bounds, but their arm and the ball are still in bounds and going around. Like, how is a defender? Are you ever supposed to, like, how to, like, it's just an amazing play.
Well, he's out of bounds. We can stop.
But my number one play for me was the shot over Craig Elo not even in the conference finals or anything, but the Bulls could not get over the Cleveland hump. They could not beat Cleveland. And Jordan takes this shot over Craig Elo. And go back and watch that shot, everybody. That's true airtime. Yeah, him jumping from the free throw line, his slam dunk championships, those kind of things were amazing. But my eternal memory of airtime is Jordan hanging there, and Elo's got him. But because Michael hangs in the air for just a tenth of a second, just a second longer, Elo, his hand flies away, Jordan's got a clear shot, boom. And the rest is history. It's easily, I get goosebumps just thinking about it. Every once in a while, I go back and watch it just because I probably will never have a moment like that as a Bulls fan again. But it's a beautiful shot. What is your favorite shot? Call up, let us know. 715-424-2600. I also want to know, are you enjoying these playoffs? And I mean NBA, NHL. Are you enjoying them? Are you having fun with them? Do you miss the stars? Let us know what's on your mind. 424-2600.
One of the things that is funny, and there was just a documentary going on, probably about the Bulls, and can't remember all the exact details, but it was something about it came down to the final shot that Steve Kerr ended up making to win the game.
Yeah, yeah.
And he says, so we're sitting on the bench, and Phil Jackson's drawing up the play, and he says, well, we're going to go over to Michael, and Michael goes, oh, no, 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 let's get it over to Steve instead.
that man was aware. He was self-aware. He was self-aware. As a side note, I think you can make the argument maybe the coolest or most interesting NBA career is Steve Kerr.
Hmm.
It's such an interesting career, and how many, you know, not only as a player, as a coach, all these different things, the way that he was kind of, before he gets the Golden State job, kind of considered, well, he might be an okay coach. He might be okay. We'll see who else we got. Those kind of things. It's fascinating to look at his career.
And it goes way back even before that, because when we were teaching out in Arizona, then the University of Arizona wasn't a great big program like it is now. Mm. It was Arizona State. So we went to like camps with Arizona State and things. And they were good back then. But then Lute Olson comes.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden Arizona turns the corner. And next thing you know, they actually did get to the national championship with Steve Kerr.
Steve Kerr.
Ended up losing to Oklahoma. But those were fun days too. Yeah. So we had a great college career as well.
His college life with everything with his father and those things as well, just such a fascinating life. And that's before he even gets into the pros. It's incredible. Yeah. His years with the Spurs, so much of that.
And if I remember right, that the guard that played for Arizona last year, that Kerr Krista, they named him Kerr after Steve Kerr.
I didn't make that connection. Yeah, that's awesome. Oh, what a great name. Mm-hmm. Let's go ahead and get to the phone lines. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
You know, Jim, not too often I do agree with you with your three best shots in NBA history. I mean, I would have to say that Michael Jordan, that hang and the way he shot that over Creel, I mean, that's by far probably the best you're to ever see. I mean, it's just plain and simple. Jordan was Jordan, and you sit there and have this table. LeBron James, is he better than Jordan? There's nobody going to ever be better than Jordan.
No,
I mean,
no. Part of it isn't even LeBron's fault. He wasn't first. What Michael did, he did at a time that we don't live in anymore. With social media, all these things, it's not Ali level where you're famous when all there is newspapers and radio, basically. I mean, there's TV, but it's not TV that we know of today. Jordan still had the TV end of things, so it's not nearly the same. But still, what he did to branch the game to the rest of the world, to the point where now we're maybe the top, in the NBA, the top 10 players, a bunch of them are from other countries. That is the truest essence of growing the game and the longevity of basketball, the future of basketball. The NFL has been trying to do this our whole lives. Literally our whole lives, the NFL has been trying to do what the NBA does just nonchalantly by going to the Olympics and sending the Dream Team and the face of literally the face of America at the time, Michael Jordan. Like, really, to the rest of the world. That's something that LeBron could never come close to. It's, you know, part of it is you know, just time and the way these things fall apart, go and everything. And another part of it is, too, the decision it was a bad decision. Like doing that whole thing with Jim Gray and all that. Like, I don't. It also put LeBron on a whole different level, fame wise and everything. And I have a hard time believing he would ever say that it was a bad decision. But as a sports fan, I felt it was. I know he won a championship in Cleveland. I would have a hard time if I was a Cleveland fan with having a LeBron jersey. It would be tough for me. Just as a homer, I would say. Regardless of him coming back and winning the championship and all that. You could have spent your whole career here. You really wanted to be like Michael, that's what you would have done. You know, Michael didn't go anywhere. Now, it is also kind of romanticized over about the Bulls, too. You know, they did bring in Kukoc and Rodman eventually. It wasn't as if Michael, you know, just sat there by himself with Scottie and those two with a B.J. Armstrong every once in a while won a championship. They had help, too. That's how good he was. Players wanted to play with him. Tony Kukoc came over from another country to be here to play with the Bulls and all that and be the next Michael Jordan. And then, of course, Jordan comes back. You're good enough, it don't matter if you're playing in Antarctica. You should be able to bring talent over there. To me, as a competitor, just in my opinion. But, you know, that's not how LeBron did it. He did this. It was, for some people, he'll never be considered the greatest. There's some people that consider Kobe greater than him simply because Kobe stayed there, you know, and won. And the last championship he won there. So I hear you on that one. Do you have a shot that comes to mind that you can think of? Or, you know, because it's not a shot necessarily, but it's a block for me with Giannis. And we thought in that championship run, he comes down on that leg, and I was worried about the rest of his career. I didn't know how he'd be. And yet he not only comes back in the playoffs and does what he does, but that last second block, just incredible in the playoffs.
You know, the other one with Giannis was when they got that steal and they did the alley-oop to him and he was like behind the backboard and he actually got shoved by Paul.
He
still slammed it in and just kind of sealed the deal on that one. That was a pretty cool shot too if you're a Bucks fan.
Yeah.
If you have to look at it though, I mean – you know, with the best shots, I mean, there's been a lot of them. You know, look at the times like with the Lakers with Magic Johnson and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Green and those guys. I think there's one there with Kareem that made that hook shot toward the end of the game.
Yeah,
you know, but I want to kind of go back to what you were saying about LeBron. The best, you know, he's the king of flop.
Mm-hmm.
That's where he's at. It's the king of flop.
Yeah,
And complaining, and you know, if he got touched, you know, he didn't make a shot. He's like, I got touched, and it's like, and that's what part. I don't really watch much NBA anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'll be honest with you, I really don't watch much NBA anymore because there's nothing to like it was back when Jordan and Bird and Magic and even Reggie Miller and those teams back in those days, Charles Barkley. The Twin Towers in Houston, that was basketball. That to me, that was the NBA basketball. NBA basketball is nothing compared to back then. You're not gonna, and that's where I think those, and that's where the international comes in. You know, then you bring in Yao Ming.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just back in the the late '80s, early '90s, that was the NBA, and that's what brought it internationally, and. I have a tough time watching it this
you're not alone.
Just this year, but all you know.
Well, you know, the other thing that was kind of cool is I'm thinking back even further. I was talking to someone the other day and saying, you know, I think I can name the starting five for the New York Knicks back in 1970 because they were always on the same team, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was Willis Reed. Yeah. It was Dave DeBuscher. Mm-hmm. It was Dollar Bill Bradley. It was the guards. Oh, see, now I put myself in a hole here.
But I know what you're saying.
But yeah, you feel they, like they were there forever.
And, pick a year and you can name them.
You know, baseball. You know, you exchange baseball cards because that guy was with that team forever.
Yeah.
So now it's just the movement makes it different,
too. It's interesting you bring up baseball. I've had this conversation with my dad. My dad feels like Kev does. He really doesn't get into the NBA anymore. He just doesn't enjoy it. If there's nothing else on, he'll put it on because he's a sports addict. But otherwise, he doesn't go out of his way to watch stuff and everything. There's a first time in my life, there's a Game 7 on afternoon. nothing else going on TV. You could sit there and watch a Game 7 in the NBA. My dad couldn't care less. First time in my life that's ever happened. Game 7 of anything he'd be watching, and he just couldn't care less, didn't really care.
You can YouTube it in 9 minutes.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there's that. I wonder how much of it. Well, there's that part of it, too, that certainly plays into it. But let's go ahead and switch gears. This time of year, when you don't have football to digest, do you find yourself getting into the NHL, the NBA playoffs, just going all in on baseball? How do you guys handle your sports bandwidth? We only have so much to spare. You know, we have these lives that we got to live and jobs and families and all these darn things going on. What do you spend your bandwidth on this time of year?
I hate to say it, is that this time, this year has been bad for me this spring. I just been so busy doing other things. Mm-hmm. I feel bad not able to watch playoff hockey. That's my favorite. The playoff hockey is my favorite. And I wish I had a chance. I was busy on over the weekend. I would have loved to watch that Game 7 of Boston and it was Tampa Bay.
Dallas.
Dallas. No,
Toronto.
Boston. Oh, the Toronto. Yeah.
The Toronto game. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, the overtime. You get a lucky ricochet off the backboard and, end the game there in overtime. Last night, I got to watch a little bit. Luckily, I had Max because they put that on. I don't understand that either. Game 7 of the playoff hockey, and you put it on Max, the Vegas and Dallas game. Come on. This streaming stuff is driving me nuts. And luckily, I had it, so I was able to watch the end of the game last night. That was, the third period was unbelievable with between those two. But I try to get as much baseball in as I can, even though. I was going to ask you guys this question, too, and kind of throw it at you and maybe see what everybody else thinks. It's getting hard to watch baseball because of the umpiring.
Yeah.
You know, and to me, for a league that's trying to keep the eyeballs on and get more people to watch baseball, it's getting hard to watch it because it's like the umpires are trying to take over the game.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
And it feels like they just got it right, too. Like, they're just trying to get this right. And they had such a good upswing coming into the season with the ratings and the time of game. I even saw a stat in the first month of the season. Games are already down an extra minute compared to last year. But the reason that's not better is because of these darn umpires. Didn't somebody tell them that our whole lives they've also been talking about robot umpires? Like, they can be replaced.
That was interesting because this weekend, I think during one of the Brewer broadcasts, they're talking about Tyler Black, this young kid that's up, and he's got this good eye. And there's this one pitch that was outside, and they called it a strike, and he kind of looked at the umpire, and they said he's so used to just getting it reviewed because he knew that was going to be outside. Now he doesn't have that luxury. And there was that one big pitch, I think it was on Saturday's game against the Cubs with the Brewers, where I think it was the eighth inning, they called strike three, or they called ball, and it should have been strike three, and they ended up getting the winning run after that, and that the entire ball was inside the strike zone. So that's one of the things that makes it hard.
And to me, it just seems like these umpires are testing major leagues.
Yeah,
baseball. And you think you're going to replace me with? Well, they're not going to replace you with a robot. It's just you're the batters are going to have that challenge. And they're going to make you look like fools. Why are you trying,
I remember years ago when I first moved out here and I was working construction, and we had this one job that we were doing, and we had one guy that could basically lay cement. Just one guy basically doing this job and everything. And he couldn't have been more blasé about it, couldn't have been more egotistical about it. Like, this isn't somebody who was, like, curing cancer or anything like that. He just acted like that, though. And he had this real arrogance to him about it. And, like, we couldn't find anybody else. Our foreman, like, the very next day brought in, like, two or three people that could do the job or whatever. And this guy was not even there, like, by the end of the week. That's the way the umpires feel to me. They feel like they're just treating the job like, well, you got nobody else, so of course I can do whatever I want here or anything. I am positive in my mind, even statistically, this has got to be true. There's some umpires that are doing this job that have wanted to do it their whole lives. There are great umpires out there. I have no doubt that there are. But the ones that we all know the names of, That just tells you right there. You know an umpire's name. You're not a baseball nerd. You're not somebody who loves the game that much or something. You know their name because they're bad at their job. It's no different than a lot of other positions in sports. If you know their name, that's not a good sign. I used to hear this. I think it was said about Anthony Munoz. They mentioned his name on draft day, and that was it. he had that kind of career. He was so good at the job and everything. That's the offensive lineman. That's how that job is. It's a thankless job. I feel for umpires on the high school levels and everything because I feel like they take oftentimes a beating that isn't deserved. Sports fans thinking that they can treat that sport the same as they do MLB or something like that. But they also, these professional, quote-unquote professional umpires, make it that much harder on other umpires in other leagues. Whether that's right or not, they do. Fans come to these games to see the players. Your job is if you took this job as a umpire, you know the assignment. Do the job. You know, right. It's not that hard. And as far as being replaced by robots or anything else, animals are known to be pretty good at picking up human tasks and everything. I'm not against a dog doing this. I'm really not. At this point, I mean, couldn't they do a better job?
I always think that they would want some help because this way you don't, embarrass yourself or you get thought of for the rest of your life because you made the wrong call on something. It's just like if they've got the technology, they're still going to have to call safe and out at home and they can still replay that or fair and foul or interference and all those wonderful things that need to be done. So it's not like we're getting rid of them. Mm-hmm. It's just that we're trying to help them.
I think you're always going to have a human umpire.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's something that I love about baseball, too. I should mention that I do love the human element of it, except for when it doesn't do its job. Did you have Kev? I didn't want to cut you off. Sorry.
But the thing is, though, it's getting to the point, with these guys, they make these rule changes. Do they sit down with these guys and go through with them? Mm. Because it's like, some of these calls, like inner blocking the plate or it's like the catch rule.
Mm-hmm.
It can go either way, and last week, obviously we had that deal with Aaron Judge with the big old mitt on his hand and blocking the throw coming across, for the double play. And he said there was no interference on that. One of the games that Pat Murphy got kicked out of was at the end of that game when they had the pass ball, and he said that it was batter interference, and that was the wrong call. And, that's unreviewable. I mean, mm-hmm. How can that not be unreviewable? I think Aaron Judge then to turn around over the weekend got tossed after a batter too because of they called him out on something that, I mean, I don't like to defend a Yankee or defend him. It was the wrong call, So it's the inconsistency is the way it's been this year, so early. It's just I really hope Manfred does something here soon. I mean, I know that they have a union and the umpires and they're pretty strong there too, just like the players. But something's got to be done.
I just have a pet peeve when they'll come out and they'll say we want to get it right.
Yeah,
and then they've got plays that they can't get right because they can't review them.
Right.
To me, that's just kind of a quandary they got to fix.
Did anybody get the chance to see that while the Brewers were in my old stomping grounds, they made the Brewers rookies go and get coffee? It was a nice rookie hazing kind of thing. It was kind of funny. They had a lot of fun with it on social media, and the rookies seemed to really enjoy it and have a good time with it. I don't know that there's a clubhouse. I know that it was a rough weekend for Brewer fans and everything, but I don't think that there is a clubhouse in Major League Baseball having more fun or playing the game better right now than the Brewers. I know it's tough to say out of the weekend and everything, but you got a manager who he finally got his shot, and he is living it. There's no hesitation with Pat Murphy. There's no, oh gosh, if I mess this up, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. No, he's been waiting his whole life for this. I am loving every second of Pat Murphy. And the only hesitation I have is how I want this more. I wish I wanted him younger. I'd like to see him doing this job. It's exciting to watch with the young talent, with the energy he brings to that ballpark every day. Win or lose, I'm watching that team, especially because my team is not worth watching.
And if only we didn't have all of these injured pitchers. Oh, that makes it so difficult. I feel for them.
Well, and that's the only thing, though, too, that you're seeing that, like I think we talked about just a couple weeks ago, Gene, on the amount of
injured pitchers that there are throughout the whole league.
Yeah.
I mean, it's bad, but yeah, the Brewers are so fun to watch this year. I mean, Saturday's game against the Cubs in the seventh inning, they had, what, four stolen bases?
Yeah, yeah, it's great to see that.
And that's the one thing with Murphy is that he's gonna play baseball the way baseball should be played.
Yeah, yeah.
He won't look at it as a little bit of analytics, you know, a pitching matchups and things like that, but he's going to play the way baseball should be played.
Yeah.
And there was an interview I heard, was it Sunday, with Ricky Weeks?
Mm-hmm.
He goes, we're going to play it. If it's a bunting situation, we're going to bunt.
We're going to do this stuff. Isn't that great to hear?
You know,
yeah. It's so refreshing.
Yeah.
It's so refreshing. Always good talking to you, man. Thanks for the call.
Appreciate it.
All right, guys. You guys have a great week.
Yeah, you too.
Have a great week. We'll be back in a moment, 424-2600. Feel free to call up and join the conversation. We're looking forward to talking with you. If those did not hear, the Brewers-Royals game today was pushed up an hour because they were worried about tomorrow's game. Today's game pushed up because of weather. They have Bryce Wilson on the mound for the Brewers today, 2-1, 3 ERA, 21 strikeouts on the season, not having a bad season at all.
Oh, he's pitching well.
And then there's Cole Reagans, and I'm not sure how to pronounce that young man's name. He's a lefty for Kansas City. For those that have been paying attention, just as a little note on this kid, 46 strikeouts already on the season.
The three guys they're throwing at the Brewers are pretty darn tough that they're going to be facing this next 3 days.
Kansas City plays this right. Over the next couple of years, they might have a contender
team. Let's hope we get rained out here until they get, get so hot.
Yeah. Brewers and Cubs tied at the top of the division in the NL Central. We'll be back. We'll talk some Rafters. We'll talk with you and plenty more. Randy's got some local coverage for us. All that coming up on Playmakers, brought to you proudly by Quality Plus Printing. Getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids.
Playmakers sponsored by Wham Incorporated. Quality Plus Printing brings you Wham Incorporated. Empower your game with custom apparel and bring out the hero in you. Whenever you need team gear, have special events, and more, Wham Incorporated is there with super speed, and there's no need to thank them because it's all in a day's work. Wham Incorporated, located on 8th Street in Wisconsin Rapids, saving the day one order at a time.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute with a couple quick thoughts about boosting your credit score. The most important thing you can do is paying your bills on time. But I've got a way you can make your payments even on timer. Each month, set up not one, but two evenly spaced automatic payments so that your credit balance is always as low as possible. You're not going to pay more, you're just paying the same amount in two smaller hits to keep the card's overall balance low. This guarantees that whenever the credit bureaus check in on how much credit you're using, they're going to see you using an almost ridiculously low amount of your credit limit. The bureaus like this, and they bump up your credit score. So set that extra auto payment up each month, and let's give your credit score a boost. Okay, folks, that was your Work Money Minute. Go to workmoney.org for more tips or text MONEY to 88285. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying take good care.
The morning show on WFHR, it's delicious.
Peanut butter and jelly should be squidgy.
Oh, I know a lot of people, yeah.
And on good squidgy white bread.
Yeah.
It's the way it's got to be.
My sister felt the same way. It's got to be, the middle especially for her, had to be just a mush.
You guys, as fascinating as this conversation is, one very big thing you just missed there. Melissa just said the word squidgy on the air.
Yeah, she did.
I mean, what the what?
Weekdays from 8 to 10 on WFHR.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in to the Devil's Advocates radio show each and every day. We do a show about nothing, but we make it interesting and, you know, we touch on the headlines. Tune in.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, home for the Devil's Advocates.
Abundant sunshine today with high temperatures flirting with 70 degrees. Winds out of the southeast a bit feisty, gusting up to 20 miles per hour as a storm system strikes tomorrow, bringing some heavy rain and thunderstorms by the afternoon and into the evening. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 73 degrees at our studios.
Welcome back to Playmakers here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Randy and James hanging out with you, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. Give us a call, 715-424-2600. Feel free to call up and join the conversation. Randy does such an amazing job covering local sports, whether it is for calling a game or it is the you know collection of all this information. We appreciate you doing that, Randy. What do you got?
Well, should we start in high school baseball in the Valley?
Yeah.
All right. 8th-ranked Stevens Point, 16-0.
Jeez.
Yeah, 6-0 in the conference, while Rapids is 10-5 overall, 3-3, and in fifth place in the Valley. Last week, the Raiders won at Marshfield 5-3, but then fell at home to the Tigers 6-1. Tomorrow, Rapids will entertain DC Everest. From the Merriwood South, Marathon is in first place. They're ranked 9th in the state, 7-1, while Auburndale is in third place, and Assumption is 1-7 overall, 0-6 in conference action. Last week, the Royals won on their home turf, 4-1 over Loyal, but also lost at Witterfield 11-6 to Athens. Assumption's back at Witterfield tonight against Stratford. Over in the Central Wisconsin South, Pittsville is 16-0 overall, 7-0 in the CWC South, while Pacelli is second in conference and number 5 in state. Port Edwards, meanwhile, is in third place at 5-3, 10-3 overall, and last week the Blackhawks defeated Ulman Bancroft 7-3 at home. They'll host Rosholt on Thursday. Down in the South Central, the Dells and Mauston sit atop the conference, while Nakusa is in fifth place at 2-5. They're 2-8 overall, and last week the Papermakers fell at home to Mauston 9-1, but picked up a W at Westfield 11-3. They'll be at home versus Wautoma tomorrow night. In high school softball action in the Valley, Spash is third in state at 15-0, 9-0 in conference, while Rapids is 10-4, 5-3 in the Valley, and in third place. Last week, the Raiders won a pair, 21-6 at Wausau East, and then 8-4 at home over Marshfield. There, Rapids is at second-placed Everest tomorrow. Over in the Merriwood South, 4th-ranked Assumption is 10-4 overall, 7-1 in first place. Auburndale, ranked 9th in Division 5, holds down second place. Last week, the Royals knocked off Newman twice, 9-2 at home and 12-3 up in Wausau. Today, Assumption is at home versus Stratford. Michael and Seth will have it for you at approximately 4:45 on FM 105.5, our sister station, WIRI. From the Central Wisconsin South, Pacelli is ranked 2nd in Division 5. They're 16-1 overall and in first place in the CWC South at 9-0. Pittsville is in 4th with a record of 3-4, and Port Edwards is in 5th at 3-6, 8-6 overall. Last week, the Blackhawks lost at 9th-ranked Ulman Bancroft 18-3, but they picked up a pair of road wins, 15-2 at Marion and 11-1 at Pittsville. Port will host Rosholt on Thursday. Down in the South Central, Nakusa is 6-6 overall, 4-3 in conference, which puts them in 4th place. Adams Friendship holds down the top spot at 7-1. Last week, the Papermakers were winners at Westfield 10-6 and at Wautoma 9-5. And in a tournament on Saturday at Riverdale High School, they lost to Pecatonica 11-1 and to Wanawak Center 4-1. On Tuesday, they will be at the Dells. And finally, in girls soccer, in the Valley, DC Everest is alone at the top with a record of 4-0-1, while Rapids resides in 4th place at 2-2. And are 2-6 overall. Last week, the Raiders lost a pair of games by identical 4-0 scores, losing at Point and at home to the Evergreens. Rapids plays host to Chi High later today. In the Midwestern Wisconsin Conference, Assumption is 5-1-1 behind undefeated Regis. Last week, the Royals picked up a pair of Ws, 8-1 over the co-op team of Melrose Mindoro and Gail Ettrick Trempolo, and 5-0 over another co-op team, Amherst and iScan. And Assumption will be back at home on Thursday as they entertain Adams Friendship on the pitch at Washington Field. So that's just some of the local things that have been taking place in the last week.
Thank you for the coverage, Randy. Nice work as always. And man, you just mentioned Washington Field and I light up. I'm such a
I could
so
see it from across the room.
Some of it, so it always hit me that way. I thought I knew that you'd be in today with us, Randy, and I know that you always do a nice job with the local coverage. I was trying to think of something to complement the segment, and I think I have something for the baseball season here. Whenever we have a chance to join you with Playmakers and we have the time to fit in when we're not taking your phone calls, 424-2600, I want to look at our day in baseball history.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, so much fun. So much history to baseball. And, you know, just to have fun with this, I went back to yesterday, so we'll do yesterday and today. Just a couple of them here. Going back to yesterday, May 5th, in 1904, Man, that just in 1904. The Boston Pilgrims pitcher Cy Young hurls the second of his three no-hitters, a 3-0 perfect game against the Phillies or Philadelphia Athletics, and Rube Waddle. The names, Randy, the names. Young will eventually complete 24 straight hitless innings, still the record to this day, and 45 shutout innings in a row, a record until broken by Jack Combs, 53 scoreless back in 1910. We all remember that.
So for those young people, right, listening to us right now, they may not know that the Cy Young Award is actually named after a real person.
Right, yeah. Right. Especially that's not like and there's not a ton of Cy's around or anything, you know. So it's not
unless they're doing Gangnam Style.
Nicely done. 1922, pitching against the Tigers, the Browns' Bill Bain takes a no-hitter into the ninth. Detroit manager Ty Cobb at the time, then sends up five straight pitch hitters, the first of whom breaks the no-hitter. One of the pitch hitters Cobb inserts is Bob Forgill, who bats for Cobb and strikes out, becoming the only man ever to pitch hit for Georgia Peach. Wow. The only guy that ever did it. In 1925, a couple of years later, Ty Cobb is 6-for-6, including three home runs in Detroit's 14-8 win over the Browns. Cobb's 16 total bases tops Joe Hauser's 14 of 1924.
That even beats Shohei from yesterday.
Yeah, which is
4-for-4 with two home runs.
A guy 20 years from now, they'll be doing in these things.
Yeah.
And then looking at today's day in history, in 1915, as a pitcher for Boston, Babe Ruth had three hits, including his first major league home run when he connected off a Jack Walthorpe of the New York Yankees at the Polo Grounds.
Did he ever get any more?
I'll look into that. Let me get back to you on that one. 1917, Bob Groom of the Browns duplicated teammate Ernie Kubb's feat of the previous day by pitching a 3-0 no-hitter against the Chicago White Sox in the second game of a doubleheader in St. Louis. Incredible. And then just wanted to throw this one in there. In 1982, Gaylord Perry of the Seattle Mariners becomes the 15th major league pitcher with 300 victories when he defeated the New York Yankees 7-3 at the Kingdome. Man.
I'm looking forward to someday when we do those that you'll have one of these that talks about some pitcher who threw a doubleheader.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I got a feeling there wasn't a pitch count back then.
Yeah.
Just thinking.
Feel like they really didn't care about the arm nearly as much. And it might have been for the better. Who knows? The way that this stuff is going to go when we look back in the history of so much of this stuff, it will be interesting to see what we look at, judge, how we're to appreciate
it. It's definitely going to be interesting because we were just talking about that earlier with our caller, you know, all of the injuries to the Brewers pitchers. And you think about somebody like Nolan Ryan, who was just bringing gas all the time. And he was pitching at what age yet? 40?
Yeah, 40s, mid-40s.
Crazy.
Still going. There's so much interesting conversation going on with this right now in the mm-hmm. pitcher's arms mm-hmm. and players' health and a lot of that. I don't know that there's a bad answer when we don't have, you know, the solution. You know, I think it's all worth talking about. I think it's all worth dissecting, getting into, and figuring out. But I don't know that it's something to lose our minds over either. You know, these things tend to come in ebbs and flows a lot of times. And there's plenty of times where there's injuries going on and there's nothing you could do to change that. We got every single person paying attention to sports understands that these athletes today are bigger, faster, stronger than they've ever been in human history. That we have more data, we have more trainers, we have more medicine and all these different things that we've ever had. And we're still having them happen. All that being said, that's all good data. But I counter it with money. And there is more money being put on the line, whether you're an owner paying for a player, or you're a fan going to a game, or you're a player investing over the majority of your paycheck into doctors and into this and that and everything. There's more money involved than ever. So if they could fix it, they would have. There's nobody's got an answer on this. They're like the rest of us. There's not many times this happens in life where the fan and the owner, the manager, the player, we're basically all on the same level here. Athletic trainers out there, all of us are in the same boat here where we're trying to figure this out.
And I think you just nailed it right in the head when you said bigger, faster, stronger, you know. I remember one time Terry Stake was able to get, he and I, a sideline during the Green Bay Packers practice, and we're standing on this side of the line, and the players are closer than you and I. Mm. I mean, we're right across from them. And you looked in the ankles, you know, they're only a diameter of 2 inches, and then all of a sudden it went up to the calves, and then it went up to the thighs. These are the defensive backs.
Yeah.
You're just like, no wonder things get pulled and torn and just running because it's so taut. And you just think, have they pushed it too far? Because you think, again, I've just been reading a few things from Packers from back in the 60s, you know, and some of these guys, they played, you know, six straight years without missing a game.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's just almost unheard of.
When I think of the unbreakable records in sports, which is another great topic, that, absolutely, hey, I was talking to a friend, and this is the most unbreakable record in sports, right. I have a hard time believing Cal Ripken's record has any, or if Cal's ever going to worry about that record. Like, well, you know, I mean,
yeah, yesterday they made the comment that Contreras for the Brewers had just caught his seventh straight game. Looked at my wife and I said, I wonder what Johnny Bench and all of those great catchers from the past are going, ooh.
I wish I could remember who it was. There was somebody who had a complete game the other night, and I was so excited to see a CG show up on the stats and everything, a complete game. And then I think about Ferguson Jenkins, who in a losing effort most times had a complete game or something like that. Like, I think 30 of them in a season or something.
Do you think part of that, though, too, is to the fact that not only do they not want to stretch their starter no matter what the pitch count is if they get to the ninth inning, but they're paying these relievers to get these saves, and they want their saves because that's going to be money in their pocket when it's contract time too. So,
oh yeah,
I don't care. I get through the eighth inning, you're out, because I got to get my ace back in there for saving the game.
You know, there's the other side too of this, where some of this is just smart. It's just, you got 162 games. They're playing more games now than a lot of these guys we grew up watching are playing. If you want to, especially if you have a team that's competitive, I got, and I'm obviously, this is a bad example right now, maybe, but a Justin Verlander or somebody like that I know is an ace. I know this guy could be the difference between me getting a ring and not getting a ring. And he's going into the ninth in a 2-1 game or something like that. Yeah, I'm pulling him. I'm thinking of October. Now, that's tough to do, and it's one of the things that you have to juggle and plates you have to spin as a manager. But they've been doing that our whole lives in a lot of essence.
And you're right. It depends upon when it is during the season, right?
I mean,
if it's right before the playoffs, then he's going on, right?
Right. Part of the job of a manager, of a coach, of any of these positions is, you know, thinking and feeling for the player. Like, I understand that player wants to go out there, but I'm sorry, I got to take the ball from you. We got to think about the whole team here. We got to think about this.
The big picture,
I don't have any problem with that. Right. That's just smart managing.
Right.
I think what happens a lot nowadays, especially for these managers in baseball, and my God, being a manager of a Major League Baseball team these years, I know they get paid a lot of money. Nobody's feeling sorry for them or anything, but talk about just danged if you do, danged if you don't kind of job, you know? And we don't know half the names of these guys anymore.
Yeah. Can you imagine being a coach of a college basketball team with the transfer portal now?
Yeah, some of the jobs are you know, again, nobody's feeling sorry for them, getting paid thousands, millions of dollars, but it is one of those things where it's a thankless job in many ways, having to make those decisions. But it's also a part of the reason why you get the job, why you get paid the big bucks. I wanted to flip the switch a little bit here. And again, you guys can do that yourselves, 715-424-2600. Call us up. We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. Roger Goodell on the Pat McAfee show about a week or two ago was talking, and they were talking about a lot of things. And I understand that it got a little bit of press, but I don't feel like it got that much press. He kind of flirted out there the future of a 18-game regular season, and that a President's Day weekend Super Bowl and a significant increase in internal games. The internal games, we'll get to it in a later time, unless you guys want to talk about it now. There were two big things. The 18-game regular season, it's going to happen. Like, if you ever wondered if it was ever going to happen, the moment those words left his mouth on the Pat McAfee show, arguably the biggest sports show in the world, at least here in the States for sure, it's going to happen. This is the calculated thing that they do that, you know, movie companies have been doing for a very long time. They throw something out there into the ether and see what the audience feels about it, how the audio people feel. They do test screenings, you know, for many that don't know this out there, where most of your favorite movies have two endings. A test audience is going to see both of them, and how the audience decides in Burbank or something like that is how the rest of us get it, which is weird and kind of a weird way to do it and such, but that's the way it is. This is the same thing with owners or you know, GMs or any of these kind of things, where you just throw something out there, something quote-unquote leaks. I don't genuinely believe much leaks in this world anymore. It is put out there precisely. It is put out there strategically, and this is one of those things, the 18-game regular season.
So then build off what you said before with all of the injuries that we already are experiencing.
See where I'm going.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think the players' union is going to feel like about this?
Yeah, And I feel like that's going to get, you know, that's going to come down to money. They're going to want more money. They're going to want more security for the players and everything. Hopefully they fight for those things and get those things, I think. But nobody's going to be able to do much safety-wise for this. And we've all just as a collective conscious got to be okay with that.
How many starting quarterbacks last year in the NFL, you know, didn't play every game?
Yeah.
It was something like 13 or something crazy like that, if I remember right. So what's it going to be with 18 games?
Yeah.
I mean, when we were growing up, it was 12 games.
Mm-hmm.
Just think, you got a third as many
crazy.
Now.
That's insane. And
we had six preseason games, and those guys didn't skip preseason games.
No.
They basically were playing 18 games plus playoffs.
Yeah, yeah. So the 18-game schedule we can talk about if you want to, guys, but what I wanted to get to, a really big part, I think that's the biggest headline here, certainly, but the idea of a President's Day weekend Super Bowl. It means that we would have that Monday off. A lot of businesses out there and everything. So a lot of Americans get what we want with that whole, we've always been saying, hey, give us Monday off of the Super Bowl and that kind of thing. I think that plays into it pretty well. You know, you also could start the season later. You don't have to do it this way. You could just extend the season, like just wait a week longer and start the season then, and it falls that way just on the calendar. His argument and a lot of people's arguments right now is, well, this is the way that we get that. And that's the carrot they're luring you in with and everything. You get your Monday off Super Bowl. You finally get it, everybody. We're giving you what you want. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Pay no attention to concussions. Pay no attention to any of these things. Just look at, day off of work, I'm not saying that we're not going to enjoy it. I'm not saying we're not going to agree with it. I'm not even saying they're wrong, but I don't lie to me. You know, don't tell me that you care about player safety, blah, blah, blah. At this day and age where we've got politicians that don't even, Randy, you talk about things when we were kids. Imagine this, you're a politician and you go up to the microphone without something prepared to say. You're just going to talk. You're just going to talk, and whatever happens, happens. And if you lie, so what? You double down. Like, that's the age we live in. So if you're Roger Goodell, what are you hiding from? Like, why are you trying to play nice here at everything? Be honest about it. Yes, we've done this for player safety. We have the Guardian helmets coming in, blah, blah, blah. 18 games, everybody. How about it? Come on. What do you think? Quit trying to talk out of both sides of your mouth. I think that people would respect that much more. I think that would go a lot farther with building trust in a lot of these decisions they're making that we're not a privy to, and you know, inside the building and stuff.
A couple of things that pop into my head. One is, and I've been thinking this, I don't know what your opinion is on this, but I always wondered why they didn't have the Super Bowl on Saturday. Just for the fact that there's no college going on at that time anymore, and everybody would have the day off the next day anyway.
Ain't got a game the next day.
Is it just tradition that they aren't doing it on Sunday?
I think so. I think that's a big part of it. I think it's in part, too, that the NFL feels it owns Sunday. You know,
right.
I think the churches of America would have have something to say about that. But
you know, there's Monday night football, there's Thursday night football, you know, there's
Saturday football now.
Playoffs are on Saturday.
Especially, you don't have to worry about them being off schedule because they've got the 2 weeks to get their schedule wherever they want it to get to. They've already come out of a season of adapting. You know, whether it's coming from, you know, Frankfurt to come and play the next week in Jacksonville or something like that. Yeah, so none of that. It's stubbornness, tradition. I continue to notice this in a lot of things in our country where why are we doing it that way? Well, we always have.
Yeah.
Like, okay, that's not a good reason. That's not a reason. That's just because you're lazy. I don't know. I do think that you've got other – I will say this. I have heard some conversations from some people on ESPN when this news came out. Well, you've got other sporting events that weekend. Do you think the NFL cares about anything else, let alone another sporting event? If anything, the NFL wants to go up against another sporting event. For as long as I can remember, the NBA has been the one sole event on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
That was their day. It was the day that even relatives of mine that didn't care about basketball, that day we could talk about basketball. That day they were watching basketball. The NFL saw that and said, I'll take that.
Yep, thank you.
I'll take that. Don't mind if I do. Thank you very much. The NFL used to care about high school football. And I'm not saying they don't anymore, but they used to covet that. Does anybody genuinely think that the reason they haven't moved games to Fridays is because of high school football? I would love to be able to say it is, and I love anybody out there who genuinely thinks that, because God, you're living in a great world. You're living life better than I am, I think. But it's the NFL is scared of one thing more than anything else in life. The mom taking her kid to football practice, and the day she decides, you know what, this is too dangerous. My Nana, my dad loved football, still loves football, wanted to play football so bad. He's a good athlete. He wanted that game so bad. My Nana was so afraid of him playing football, she let him be a boxer and play hockey. She thought those were safer.
Whoa.
Like, that's what she thought of football. Yeah. Like, and that's back in the 60s and everything. Moms nowadays, do you want your kid playing football? It's a question that parents have to face and have to ask and everything. And the NFL is scared to death of that. So that's part of the reason they're not messing with high school football. They don't want to put another black eye on that day or come even close to, look how much we covet the high school game and how much we appreciate the high school game. Pay no attention to what we're doing to college football. Pay no attention to Saturdays and all that stuff and everything.
So here's one more thing to build off of that 18-game schedule. Do you think that one of the fears would also be adding two more games, and that means more money out of the people who have season tickets pockets, who are already being stretched with the economy the way it is?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
that might be a difficult answer too.
I haven't understood how that hasn't affected the music industry more with the concert ticket prices and that, and how people are going to afford these things. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I sometimes I sit at the and watch a game of a major league sport. And I marvel at how they have people in the front row, like just how they can afford those tickets. I have no idea how some of these people are being able to do, because it's one thing if I just see a bunch of celebrities up there or something. It's another when I see people I don't even know and just strangers being able to go to these games.
So either they are living, you know, in debt, or they need to adopt us.
Yes, one or the other. And we're okay with either 424-2600. Got about 5 minutes left to show. I did want to touch on something, and I know for those of you that listen to our morning shows, God, we appreciate you. We did touch on this a little bit earlier, but I wanted to get it in there. It's sports related, and it's kind of positive for us. A new study in Japan found that watching sports boosts our mental health and generally makes us happier human beings. Researchers scanned people's brains while they watched various sports and found it activated the quote reward circuits in our brain, which are linked to feelings of pleasure and happiness. They also found that people who regularly watch a lot of sports have more gray matter in those areas, which suggests it might even change our brain structure over time. Quote, for those seeking to enhance their overall well-being, regularly watching sports can definitely affect REM. It can be definitely a remedy.
Unless you live in Chicago.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. So true, though.
I wonder, seriously, though. Do you wonder about that, you know, when you have a team that really struggles, and they've struggled like the Bears have for a while, what's that do to you?
I think, and there's where it's interesting. It gets really, really interesting when you talk to, and I do not like using words out of context or anything, or when they have a deeper meaning, but for lack of a better terminology, lack of a better algorithm, when you have PTSD as a fan. Mm. When, you know, I was doing this during the draft. Everybody in the world picked Caleb Williams at number one. Everybody but me, because I was definitely afraid of the Bears that go into the season with Thomas Jones, one of the top 10 running backs in football, and, oh, we're going to grab Cedric Benson. Because, you know, who couldn't use more running backs? Why not? Right. You know, that's the team. Or if I look a little bit north and I see the Detroit Lions, who for about 4 or 5 seasons in a row grabbed a wide receiver in the first round, and none of them were named Megatron.
No.
They got him later. It's the NFL. They can mess this up. They can overthink it, everything. So yeah, as a sports fan, coming out of that city, at least there's a lot of that. And even when the other thing too with sports as a fan that I don't think happens very often is the only thing that history buys you is arrogance. Look at Nebraska football fans. Ask a Nebraska, an old school Nebraska football fan,
Tom Osborne.
How their team's going to do this year, or what do you think they should do this year as a Nebraska fan? And they're going to tell you when the Big Ten. They're going to tell you when the Big East or Big 12 or something
whatever
like that.
Whatever conference it is
they,
now.
They used to be in. Yeah, but that diehardness and everything, and that entitlement that Kentucky basketball fans have, or Indiana Hoosier basketball fans have, and stuff. There's that side of it, while also there's the side of, oh, that team's going to be bad this year. I just know it. Now, it doesn't matter all what the talking heads say or anything. We're going to be bad. It's funny what we do as sports fans going into a season that is no season is anything like the season before. This whole, we'll run it back. No, you didn't. You got four or five new guys. Every team does. That's free agency. That's sports nowadays. But every year we go in. The Chicago Bears is a good example. Completely new management system, all those things. Who's still signing the checks? McCaskey. So I'm fearful. I'm worried and all that. It's interesting.
Yeah, think about the Atlanta Falcons, right? They picked the quarterback from Washington, right?
Yeah.
And everybody's like, we just signed an $80 million contract, Kirk Cousins, and we drafted a quarterback. And, if you watch the reactions of the people,
it's just hilarious. It's hilarious unless you're a fan.
Unless you're an Atlanta Falcon fan,
But and you talk about a fan base that's got some PTSD. I mean, that's one of them right there. Great week. Thank you so much, Randy, for hanging out. A lot of fun. Thank you for the data and everything. Remind you all that we got great sports on our radio tonight, 4:45 on our sister station, WIRI. Join us. Mike and Seth going to be covering Assumption Softball as they're taking on Stratford. And we got, of course, Rafter season schedules here. Everybody come pick one up. Say hi to Pam when you do.
Just a few weeks away.
Yeah.